We're experiencing some technical difficulty, and we'll bring that to you just as soon as the lines are cleared up. In the meantime, we'll continue with music here on Music for Sunday Evening.
Ransom means to free from penalty, punishment, slavery by a payment. There was one theory who said Christ delivered men from sin by offering a sacrifice to Satan. The scriptures tell us that Christ was our propitiation. He was our means of mercy. We should be grateful tonight that Christ became a curse for us. When we deserved death, Jesus Christ took our place as individuals. Indeed, we should be grateful tonight that Jesus the man died on the cross, and not God the divine. Yes, Jesus was both man and God. But Jesus is not dead tonight. He is still alive, because God lives in him as he lives in us if we are Christians. The work of Christ is usually summed up in a threefold way, that of prophet, priest, and king. Anselm, in the 11th century, emphasized the divine honor or majesty and the debt of sinful man. I think the fallacy, though, with his idea was that he did not emphasize enough God's righteous love. Hugo Grotius emphasized God's government rather than his honor or his righteousness as central. Another theory, Christ's death was merely a martyr's death. His death inspires us, according to this theory, and therefore atonement was really not needed. All we needed was the good example of our wonderful Lord. Dr. Frank Stagg has suggested to us that the death of Jesus is ultimate in confronting man with God's way of life. Paradoxically, the cross is death, yet it is the way to life. Also, he adds, Christ died for us. He died for our sins. Except for our sins, there would have been obviously no need or occasion for the death of Christ. But the New Testament says more. Not only did he die for us, he died in order to enable us to die the death that issues, friends, into life everlasting. P.T. Forsyth, in thinking about the atonement, sees everything in the light of the holiness of God. However, I agree somewhat with the old theologian E.Y. Mullins, that the atonement of Christ was the deepest expression of God's righteous love. He adds, it is difficult to see how any act of God can be unrighteous or unloving. As someone has said, it is because God loves that he suffers. St. Paul, the great theologian, saw the whole Christ event. He never separated the death from the resurrection. He saw them as two sides of the same coin. As we consider the way that St. Paul looked at it, he used the idea of victory. Christ indeed is Lord, St. Paul said. He used the metaphor of the law court. He uses this to show that God deals with us in terms of love, and not in legal terms. Then he adds another idea, that of the life of obedience. Yes, Christ was willing to offer himself even unto death. W.J. Wolf has said, when we fall out of the love relationship with God, we go into the impersonal law relation. And old C.S. Lewis has suggested to us that hell is a place where man has all he wants. He wanted himself, and there he shall find it. One of the principles in Paul Tillich's idea of atonement involves his participation in our estrangement, our alienation, or our separation from God. Our response should be one of love, answering or recognizing this love, as the baby who cries out, "I love you, Daddy." The prophets, friends, challenged the sacrificial system of the Old Testament people. They wanted it to be a means to an end, and not simply or surely an end in itself. Their main principle was, don't think that just because you go through the motions, everything is all right. To make the analogy, just because we come to church every Sunday, this doesn't mean that everything is taken care of. There is no salvation, beloved, that makes you a Christian today and an unbeliever tomorrow. The Bible knows of no such thing. No, we do not ever see God playing the rabbit foot game with us. We must be right in our heart. Sacrifice in the Old Testament was given by God to teach men something of the reality of the sacrifice that God would make in and through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Psalm 50 suggests to us the sacrifice of thanksgiving, praise, righteousness, and joy. Yes, when we come to the altar of the house of the Lord, beloved, there is a sacrifice being made in our lives that has a sense of purifying us for all of time and all of eternity. Some of the characteristics portrayed in the book of Hebrews are, Jesus died a perfect sacrifice. He died the death of God once and for all. And as our Catholic brethren believe that the death is repeated as they participate in the Lord's Supper and in the use of the elements, we find the book of Hebrews contradicting this. Jesus died a perfect death. He died once and for all of history, for all of time and eternity. I had a professor in college who used to say, Jesus died of a broken heart. I think there is some truth in this, but this in no way could get at the whole happening of the death of Christ. Certainly we are unable to feel what our Lord felt for mankind. Yet we know with greatest assurance that it took a willingness beyond human imagination. I refer to E.Y. Mullins again. He answers the old objection. How can you explain the morality of punishing an innocent man in order to let sinners go free? The suggestion is that both acts are ethically indefensible. Christ, friends, is not simply an innocent man. He is the creator of the human race. When in atonement he assumes its responsibility, it is part of the original responsibility involved in his creative act. And therefore, as he is setting you free, he is setting you free to walk in newness of life. His historic act on the cross is also, beloved, the beginning of a vital spiritual process in human hearts. Now then, there are those who think the whole thing was a farce from beginning to end. We have to face one thing very quickly, and that is this. The redemptive value of the death of Christ is not dependent upon everyone's accepting it. No, beloved, it is an objective truth. It is an objective fact, regardless of how many receive it. But thanks be to God tonight that it is available to all people everywhere. Yes, it is offered to us freely. I agree with Dr. Frank Stagg that the characters were not picked for a drama against their own will. The men that crucified Jesus did it of their own accord. They hated him, they detested him, and therefore they could do none other than what they did. We know in our time sin can only breed sin. There is no other result. Think of the words of Jesus upon the cross. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And feel something of what went through the mind and the physical body of our wonderful Lord. Think of the sixth saying upon the cross, it is finished. A sane man would not note this sound of joy, beloved, if it were forced upon him. Yes, he knew he was our means of mercy. No one could feel deeper than him what was at stake. If God and man would ever be brought together, it was in this crucial event. It was amazing that he could love those, though, who even detested him, those who despised him. How penetrating are the words, Man of sorrows, what a name, for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. And as we think about the last saying, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Yes, Jesus paid the price for our sin. He died a glorious and triumphant death. William Barclay, in his commentary on Romans, has suggested, When a man's hope is in God, it cannot be turned to dust and ashes. When a man's hope is in the love of God, it can never be an illusion. For God is loving us with an everlasting love that is backed up with an everlasting power. Romans 5 says, But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. As we think about our world today and we view the nations of history who have fallen because they turned their backs upon God, we recognize three things that are usually present when a nation falters. In the first place, it turns from God and dies spiritually. Arnold Toynbee, the historian, has said 19 out of 21 nations have fallen from within, destroyed morally. They have lost their sense of the law of God and their desire to fulfill that law. In the second place, the economy of a nation usually withers, and the fact that when a nation loses its religious stamina, its economy seems to dry up and wither away. Thirdly, when this happens, people become discontented, and therefore they become open to being undermined from within as well as from without. I trust tonight that you know this Savior of ours in a real, vital, and personal way, and that you're willing to go with him in this modern world when men everywhere are trying to discount all that Jesus Christ has accomplished. They'll never do it because he is the eternal. The good book tells us, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. May we pray together. Father in heaven, we're grateful tonight for the glorious sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And may we accept the challenge tonight to give ourselves to him without reservation. Help us to have the deep, abiding presence of Christ in our lives from day to day. And may we count it a joy to serve him and to uphold the banner of Christ even in a world that is indifferent to our Master. Bless that one who is here tonight that needs to trust Christ, for it's in his name that we pray. Amen. As we sing our hymn of invitation tonight, if you're here and you've never trusted Jesus Christ to be your Savior, we invite you to come and trust him. If you're here and your membership is with another group and you should like to unite with this fellowship, by letter or statement, you come. Our invitation hymn tonight, number 240, may we stand together and sing.
Thank you. Norfolk Baptist Church has presented live their evening service from their sanctuary at 1101 Chesapeake Avenue in the South Norfolk Borough of Chesapeake. A cordial welcome is extended to you to attend Sunday school at 9:30 a.m., Sunday morning worship at 11, training union at 6:15 p.m., and Sunday evening worship at 7:30. That address again is 1101 Chesapeake Avenue in the South Norfolk Borough of Chesapeake. Join us again next week when once again the South Norfolk Baptist Church will present their evening service. The South Norfolk Baptist Church has presented live their evening service from their sanctuary at 1101 Chesapeake Avenue in the South Norfolk Borough of Chesapeake.